Well, not do drugs is one of them. You know, I've been through all of that, and it took me forever to get clean. I don't think that work ever really stops. You know, speaking of all of that, I guess that all ties in. So, you know, for me, it's the anxieties and things like that, especially with, you know, as you said, we're sensitive creatures. So putting music out there is, you know, us taking our heart out of our chest and displaying it for people. And that's a scary thing. That's a very, very terrifying thing. So I think that my coping mechanism as of late has been to just do whatever serves me. And if other people love it, then that's really wonderful. And I'm so grateful for that. And if they don't, then that's okay too. I've still created something that I love.
Welcome to Songwriter Trysts. This is an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee. Music saved my life, and I love talking with other artists about the power of songwriting and their journey to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. Please support the podcast by subscribing, or you can buy us a coffee, all through the website songwritertrysts.com. Okay, welcome to A Songwriter Tryst, and today we have Drew Ryder-Smith, all the way in New York today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I like to start these podcasts simply by getting you, as the artist, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from.
So I grew up about an hour and a half south of Nashville, just north of the Alabama state line, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Which also put me a little bit north of Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So I kind of grew up between two music meccas. Okay. And I've been in Nashville since no hope, zero hope at all of being a carpenter or anything useful.
Yeah.
I officially moved to Nashville in 2009, and I started writing songs full time in 2010.
And wow.
So that's where I've been ever since.
So, I mean, obviously location, you were surrounded, but was there a family member or someone else that kind of heavily influenced your journey as a musician or a songwriter?
Yeah, for sure. Everyone on my mother's side of my family played an instrument or sang or both.
Mm-hmm.
And both of my parents were very, very big music lovers. All types of music, from like 90s grunge. My mom was into 90s grunge, to, you know, Don Williams and Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
My dad was, he was into classic rock and John Prine and Steve Earle and into country as well. So I grew up on a lot of different stuff. So I think a combination of all that, I was just always surrounded by it. I can't remember a time when we were, you know, not listening to music.
Mm. And that's a really diverse range of music to be listening to as well and influenced by.
Yeah.
How do you think that's influenced, you know, where you are now? Like, what do you think has defined where you decided to sit in the musical world?
I think you inherently pick up pieces of all those things that you grew up listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And even continue listening to, you know, even newer stuff. You get little pieces of that never leave you, and then they all kind of meld together and kind of become whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, right. All right, tell us about your first ever song. Do you remember that, when you wrote your first song?
No, you know what? My mother told me about it not long ago. I was asking an interview about it, and I didn't remember it, but she remembered everything about it. I've since forgotten. I'll have to ask her again, but I'm sure it was terrible. I mean, I feel like half of what I write is still terrible, so not much has changed. But yeah, I think as an artist, you know, you're your own worst enemy. So and certainly mm-hmm. your own worst critic.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't remember it, but she does. I'll have to get her to remind me.
That's okay. So what was the journey like when you were coming of age and you're playing music? What instruments do you play, or do you prefer to play?
I really only claim to play guitar. Mm-hmm. I can kind of play drums. I can kind of play bass. I can kind of play mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
So several different things, but really guitar is the only one that, moving to Nashville will change your perspective on what you play or how well you play. Before I moved to Nashville, I thought that I was a pretty good guitar player. And then I moved to Nashville and I figured out that I was barely a guitar player. But yeah,
don't
so
tell
guitar
people
is the
are.
Only one that, yeah, guitar is really the only one that I claim to actually play and play well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you were coming of age and decided, you know, you growing up and like, I want to be a astronaut, I want to be a country rock star. Like, how did that go down, and what was your support network around you when you were going through that decision process in your life?
You know, I think my support network was great. I can't imagine what it was like for them, though, knowing that I wanted to do that so badly. Because I started writing songs at a pretty young age. I mean, probably around 12. Like, I got serious about guitar when I was about 10, and about 12 I started, you know, finally writing things down. And and I wrote, you know, through my teenage years. And so I think they knew that it was something that I was pretty serious about. And I can only imagine that as a parent, that has to be terrifying, you know, to go, yeah. Oh my God, he likes this. And
unless you're a creative parent.
Yeah.
It's like your dream.
Mine were great about it. I mean, they were supportive. I think my dad was really worried for a while, and I think that came out in different ways.
Yeah.
But you know, but he was still supportive. He bought me my first digital recording studio and some headphones and I think a microphone, something that I could, you know, put my songs down on that would sound decent.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted to. You know, like I was about 20 or so when this happened. And I don't think that was exactly what he had planned on doing when I was 20,
mm-hmm.
but he still did it. And my mother's super supportive. My father's super supportive. My whole family really is. So I'm really blessed in that regard.
What do you think your dad wanted you to do? Like, well, what do you think his concerns were?
I think he wanted me to do that. I think he was just terrified of the journey. You know, my father is the type, he can't play an instrument, but you know, he can listen to a song and say, you know, that's, you know, Dwayne Allman playing guitar on that song. It's not even an Allman Brothers. Yeah. He's got an ear for it. You know, he can pick stuff out like that, but he doesn't play an instrument. So I think that, you know, that being said, he loved watching music documentaries and things like that. He's always been fascinated, by the history of different musicians and bands and things like that. And I think, you know, that he knew that it was probably going to be a long, hard road. And I think that's where most of his fear was at, was just, knowing that it was going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, and even if things went really, really well. Yeah, for sure. So,
but even when they go well in this industry, sometimes there are other issues and problems that can come up with that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which we've seen, you know. And it's public. Yeah. So it's a problem that not only you have, but the world sees.
Yeah. It's very, very public. I mean, like Steve Harwell, you know, from Smash Mouth, that just passed away. I mean, he's a young guy, he's in his 50s and, you know, unfortunately, alcohol killed Steve Harwell at a very young age. And it was, from what I understand of it, you know, I think the worst of his alcoholism and addiction, you know, came after he was famous. You know, so we see it all the time. I mean, there's a 27 club for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost part of the job. But I think, I really think that that a lot of creatives struggle with that. And it's not just it's not just musicians or songwriters. It's artists of all types. There's something in there that I've always thought that whatever is twisted up in the brain that is wired differently to make you creative, it is linked to things that make you just make really bad decisions and need things that you don't really need.
Mm. Well, we're very sensitive types, us creatives. Break people down into like four different categories in psychology. And I remember watching this video the other day and they said creatives are very sensitive and you will usually hold on to childhood events and forever. Their whole life is dictated by that, which is interesting as a parent because I have little kids watching and how they're developing. But it's also interesting as a creative and working with other creatives on a regular basis. It's like you have to walk on eggshells around creatives because we're very easily hurt and offended and we're not very, very forgiving. And we can tend to be like hold on to grudges and things like that. And it's an interesting thing about ourselves, but I agree. I think it's also exhausting, and maybe that's why maybe we're also at higher risk of addictions and alcoholism and drugs and things like that, because it's an escape from how busy our brains can get.
That's the thing, is there's no shutoff valve. And so I think you're exactly right. I think that you turn to other things just to be able to, you can't shut it off. But if you can slow it down enough, you know, that maybe you can relax for a bit. I think that's kind of where that comes from. Yeah. You're trying to slow it down.
Okay. Well, let's talk about mental health a little bit. What are some techniques or things that you've developed to get through the emotional roller coaster that is, especially releasing music, being a performing artist? There's so much that goes into it. What are some mechanisms that you've learned along your journey that have helped your longevity?
Well, not do drugs is one of them. I've been through all of that, and it took me forever to get clean. I don't think that work ever really stops. You know, speaking of all of that, I guess that all ties in. So, you know, for me, it's the anxieties and things like that, especially with, you know, as you said, we're sensitive creatures. So putting music out there is you know, us taking our heart out of our chest and displaying it for people. And that's a scary thing. That's a very, very terrifying thing. So I think that my coping mechanism as of late has been to just do whatever serves me. And if other people love it, then that's really wonderful. And I'm so grateful for that. And if they don't, then that's okay too. I've still created something that I love. So that's really been in the last year or so when I started really getting serious about putting out the EP. That was kind of the way that I looked at it. I said, I'm gonna put out the songs that I want to put out. I'm gonna record them the way that I want to record them, and I'm gonna put them out the way that I want to put them out. And if I stick to that, then at least I'm happy. If no one else is happy with it, at least I am.
So what was your journey to get to that conclusion for yourself? Because that is emotional intelligence in a jar, what you just said. I think it's beautiful, but it can take some time to get there.
It's probably been, that probably came from, you know, years of having my ass kicked by a publisher, you know, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's their job. Mm-hmm. It's their job for you to come in and say, here are the songs that I wrote last week, and then listen to all of them and go, all right, see what you can write today. You know, it's terribly disheartening.
It's hard, but, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is. It's amazing too, because you take in something that you think is just like, okay. And they go, my God, this is great. This is a hit song, you know? So it's all so very confusing. And through that, I learned that I don't really know. Yeah. Like, I have no idea what a hit song is and what's not. The songs that other people have recorded that I've written, most of them have been songs that I thought, well, I didn't even think about them getting cut. Like, I truly didn't. Mm-hmm. I just thought that they were just, you know, whatever I wrote that day, and that would be it, and they'd probably never be listened to again.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up getting cut. And you know, some of them have done really, really well. So, but again, I say all that to say, I don't know. What I have learned is that I have no idea. All I know is what makes me happy and what I like that I've written. And so the best that I can do is just put that out and hope that everybody else likes it too.
It is bizarre that the process of writing songs, because sometimes you can't really control what comes out. Like you sit down with an idea and then what comes out at the end of it is nothing like what you thought, but still it is what it is. You know, it kind of evolves. But then there is that process of sometimes you're really attached to it and other times you're not. And so therefore, you know, you put your associations to it. From my experience, this is how I've felt. But I had the same experience where sometimes I'm like, it's kind of a throwaway song, but it's kind of cute. But it has like the biggest response from audiences when I perform it versus me thinking, oh, it'll be like a B-side bonus track on the end of an album somewhere, you know, like it's the lowest of songs.
Isn't it bizarre?
It's so weird. What do you think that is for you? Because I've experienced that as well, but I haven't talked to many people about that experience. But I don't get it.
I think I just have no barometer or no gauge on it. I think I'm too close to it.
Yeah.
You know? And, that's all that I can chalk it up to, is that I'm too close to it. And so as a result, my opinion really doesn't count for much.
Fair enough. With co-writing, I'm assuming you've done a fair amount of co-writing given how long you've been doing it. And, do you co-write all the time now, or are you sort of 50-50? Where are you at with that?
No, you know what? This year I've been writing a lot by myself. I've been out of town a lot. I've been, in the Northeast quite a bit this year, and it wasn't entirely the plan, but it's been good, and I've still been able to make music and put music out. One thing that it has done is, you know, it's, unless I want to do Zoom writes and things like that, I'm kind of stuck with writing with myself. Mm-hmm. Because I do hate Zoom writes. I've written in a room with other people for so many years now, like 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. For so many years. Yeah. that is what I'm accustomed to, and that's what I prefer. I feel like it's really hard to get anyone else's energy through a cell phone or a computer, you know, as opposed to sitting in the same room with them. Mm-hmm. And they've got their guitar and they're throwing out, you know, of course you get that, you know, you can get that, you can hear those things through a phone or a computer, but there's something about that energy that comes off of people when you're sitting, you know, 4 feet away from them.
Yeah.
It's just different.
You reach out and touch
them.
And
it's special. Yeah. And so, yeah. So, you know, that said, I've been doing writing, you know, I've been doing my own writing sessions here by myself a lot this year, but, mm-hmm. But I've got some things coming up, and I've been, you know, playing shows and doing different things like that. But I'm about ready to get back into some co-writing, you know, seriously. So
awesome. What would you say, over the many years of experience with co-writing you've done, what would you say the best advice for people who are just beginning to co-write? What do you think is really important for those people to consider?
I think the thing to remember is that anyone that you're co-writing with has likely been in a co-write, they've likely been in probably more than a few co-writes, but there was a time when they were going into their first co-write, and it's weird and it's awkward and it's absolutely terrifying, but I've never known of anyone that has died during a co-writing session. So
let's touch wood on that just, one.
Yeah. So if you can just get through your first one, just one, then you're good. You've mm-hmm. done it and it's behind you. But I remember my first co-writing session, and man, it was scary. It's like going through each other's underwear drawer. You know, it's very
intimate.
It feels very intimate, very intrusive. You know, and it's a scary thing. So, I remember that feeling well. So anyone that is considering co-riding and is not doing that because of the fear of that, because of the fear of the vulnerability, and as you said, the intimacy of it, just do it, because it's a really, really wonderful experience. As I said earlier, to be able to sit in a room with someone or, you know, a few other people, and to share that experience with, and all feed off of each other's energy.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why we call it Songwriter Trysts. So we have a lot of fun with it, hopefully, as well, and you enjoy it.
Yeah.
What do you think it takes to be successful in this industry?
I have no idea.
That's probably the most honest answer I've ever been given.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing 13 years ago when I started doing this, and I still don't know now. I think showing up is a large part of it, though. Showing up and being a decent human being. You know, if you can really hang around a long time just by being a good hang. And I've told a lot of people that. Just be a good hang. Mm-hmm. And don't blow up people's phones trying to get meetings or appointments or anything like that. But just be a good hang. As long as you do that, you're going to be invited to things, and you're going to be in co-rides or whatever it is that you're wanting to do. And just keep showing up. Always show up. And that's the best. That's the best advice I can give anybody. And because I really couldn't tell you why I've been around as long as I have.
Honest, I think that's probably the best answer I've ever heard to that question. So thank you for sharing. And I agree. It's like you just kind of take it with however it comes, and you just go when the doors open, and if it's closed, it's closed. It's not really anything you can do about it. So yeah. I like that answer. Tell me about your influences, and then we'll talk about your music. If you could co-write or collaborate with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
It'd be my best friend, Jason Jones. I haven't got to see him in a minute. We've both been so busy. I've traveled so much this year, and he's been crazy busy with his own ventures, and he's an amazing painter as well as an amazing songwriter and artist. And so he's been traveling and he's been doing shows. And so this year we haven't gotten to written much, but he's my very favorite person in the world to write with. So if I could write a song tonight with anybody dead or alive, it would be him.
Wow, what a compliment. That's amazing. All right, so tell me about your music. What's going on at the moment? What are you looking forward to? What's coming out? What are you doing?
We've got some new music coming out. I just had an EP that came out at the end of May, and I'm still really excited about that. I've had a great team behind me, and I say behind me. They've kind of been in front of me, to be honest. You know, and yeah. they're pulling the wagon on this thing, and I'm just along for the ride. But yeah, really great people that really know what they're doing, and much more so than I do. But yeah, for sure, new music coming out later this year. I've got a couple of shows coming up here in the next, I guess next week. I've got a couple of shows in Virginia, and then after that, I'm in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a really fun fall. I'm really looking forward to it.
I love that. And Drew, where would you like to see yourself in 10 years' time?
Still alive.
That's a good ambition. Yeah. If you're still alive in 10 years' time, where would you like to be? Unless there's you think you're not going to be alive. I mean, I know that people do have chronic illnesses, but...
No, I'm planning on being here. We'll see what happens. You know what? In 10 years, I still want to be doing what I'm doing now, and still just recording all the time and writing all the time and getting to travel and getting to play shows. And hopefully it's on a much bigger level. I've spent so many years writing songs for other people, and I've been so blessed with that. I really, really have. I'm so grateful for that time. I'm so grateful for so many other much bigger artists and much better singers than myself. So grateful for them recording my songs, because it's kept me alive this long. You know, but with that, I might have gotten lazy, I guess I have to admit. And and thought, well, I think that's okay. It's about 10 years of being lazy, because I thought, man, I can just, chill. It's really easy for me to just stay at home and write songs, because this is working, this is paying the bills, so I don't have to tour. But man, I missed it so much, and so it's really great to be back out there now. So I want to still be doing this, just on a much bigger level, and it's really exciting for me, because I feel like this is, you know, the beginning of my career as an artist. I've had a great career as a songwriter, and I'm grateful for that, but that now I want to do the same thing as an artist.
Get out there. I think it's slightly more vulnerable as well, because you are putting your face to your songs, and there is a certain level of vulnerability that, you know, you've faced another big fear that everyone has to face when they get to that point. So I do wish you all the best. I do want to ask you about, because you did so much songwriting before as well, what would you say was your best experience, or the thing that's kind of always stuck with you as a good experience as being a songwriter, having your songs cut by someone else? Like a favorite song?
I love all of them. It's always just such an honor. It really never gets old. You know? And I think every time I get a major cut, I just go, my God, man, like how does this happen to me? Like what did I do in a former life that deserved all this stuff happening to me? It's just wild, man. All of it is a really cool experience. And, you know, just even not getting cuts, even knowing that some of your heroes have been pitched to your songs and have listened to your songs is a cool thing too. That's something that nobody can ever take away from.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, I think I've asked all of my main questions. You've given some incredible advice, and it sounds like you've had an amazing journey, but you also have an amazing journey continuing ahead of you. Is there anything else you would like to share with everyone while they're listening? I am going to put a blog together with your website and links to all your music and socials and everything like that. But is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, go check out the new EP. I'm super proud of it, and I can't wait to get more music out. But right now I'm kind of basking in this EP, and I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself. You know how it is, right? Like you get this collection of new music together and you get it all put together, but now you got to wait a couple of months so you can do some press and some media and some marketing and all that. And by the time it finally comes out, you've got this, you know, brand new huge load of songs ready to go. And it's like,
again,
man, this one just came out last Tuesday. So like, you know,
it is a weird process, isn't it?
It really is. You know,
it's like I wrote this song 2 years ago, but you've just heard it for the first time, but now I've got to talk to you about it like it's a brand new song.
Yeah, it's wild. And by then, we're excited about what we just wrote, you know, and we're over that other stuff.
Maybe it'll change with AI. Maybe that's the one thing that AI could fix, because we could write a song, chuck it into AI and release it the next day. And
man, wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be so good? Although they might.
Would still be excited about it. Wouldn't have to fake it. But no, I really am. I am still excited about this new EP. I'm so glad that it's out in the world. And I think that everything that comes after that is really going to be a lot of fun for me, because it's been such a long time coming. I've waited so long to put my own stuff out. So now that this first batch of songs is out, I'm so excited to get more of it.
Like a rocket ship. I'm sure it's going to be huge. I love seeing your passion, and it's I think every time you release anything, it's kind of nice. And I love those stories of, like, you know, you hear a song that was released 5 years ago and then all of a sudden it becomes big because of whatever reason. And that's always like something that's just there. Once your music's out in the world, you never know what it's going to do. And, you know, I love what you're doing. So thank you so much for jumping on and sharing with me. And I look forward to sharing this podcast with everyone else and get them to come and check out your music and support what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Ray. I appreciate you having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
No time. No, I'm so tired. No problem. Oh, it's just that time of year for me, honestly. But no, thank you. I really appreciate it. This is fun. And I come to America a lot. I was meant to be in Nashville in when was it? Oh, for 4th of July, I ended up in Chicago because of the airline strikes. I got stranded in San Francisco and I ended up in Oakland and then I ended up in Phoenix. And I felt like I got everywhere but Nashville, but that's okay.
Wow. What a bummer, man.
It was so weird. But I went to Chicago and I had fun and I went to a Cubs game and, yeah, get back as soon as I can. But it's a beautiful place.
Well, so. That's a great experience. Yeah, that's a really, really – like that's such an all-American experience.
Is what, going seeing to see everywhere but Nashville? No, yes. Well, that was the point, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was good. And even when, like, I was stuck in random cities, my theory is just always look for art and or find artists and I'll be okay. Like, if I'm around my people, I'm good. Anyway, hopefully I'll get to see you somewhere live or we'll get to collaborate in some way in the future, but I'm really, really glad that I got to have this chat with you. And please stay safe and hopefully in 10 years' time we'll be able to see that you're still doing the same thing and kicking even more goals.
All right. Thanks so much, Ray.
Bye, Drew.
Bye.
Thanks for joining our songwriter Trist today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com. Crowd, no one can.